selling safety, you know, promoting the value of it to get their attention.
You're having more or less success with that, it's not good enough.
I think I've had a pretty good success with it. The problem is I see the safety profession as a whole is more worried about, we have to show value, so they're only worried about showing profit. I use that to get attention. So when you tell business, you know, the business executives, hey, you know, this can be, you know, save good money, that gets their attention to sell all the other things. But I'm also a safety advocate. I think we should be advocates for safety as well. And so that's the balance between, you know, watching out, you know, taking the back of the worker, but then also looking out and you know, promising them that they are the company in the process. And that's a hard balance.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for the presentation. Our next speaker is Marion Flume. This is her talk. She's from UMass Lowell.
Morning, everybody. Can you hear me? I'm just curious, is there anybody here who does health promotion? Okay. Who isn't an occupational health person? Okay. Just checking. Workplace health promotion often focuses on individual behaviors independent of the work environment. And while some of these programs can result in behavioral changes and some improvements in health, they rely entirely on individual willpower. If you're not healthy, you just aren't strong enough. And many of these programs are management-led, with management determining the content of the programs. Such programs often lack continuity. They rely on a single wellness champion who may be a volunteer, and if that person becomes too busy to deal with these wellness issues, nothing gets done. Or we're working in nursing homes, you get people leaving all the time, they get pregnant, they get a new job, and then somebody new comes in and starts all over again. So at UMass Lowell, we propose to link health promotion with occupational health, looking at workplace conditions that can negatively impact workers' health as part of an overall health promotion program. If workers are really stressed because of the way their work is organized, there's not much they're going to be able to do to, even on their own, go out and improve their health. And we wanted to do this through worker-based participatory approach, in which the workers assess their own needs and they decide how to address them. And this work is being funded. It's being done through the Center for the Promotion of Health in the New England Workplace, and it's funded by NIOSH. All right, I have to do, yeah, I'll do that. I think it's better. Okay. So our goals for this project were to establish a sustainable participatory health protection, health promotion programs at three nursing homes, and particularly through worker-based committees. To empower the workers to integrate occupational health issues with general health promotion, with an emphasis on work organization and psychosocial impacts, and to compare management-led health promotion programs with what we were trying to do. We were working with Genesis Healthcare, which is one of the largest nursing home chains on the East Coast. And we were lucky because our principal investigator was the mentor for the person who was in charge of health and safety and health promotion. So we had amazing access to these nursing homes. It's often very hard to get in. And they gave us initial recommendations of possible sites for our pilot programs. They knew management to be cooperative with them and had a willingness to try new programs and were interested in what we were doing. So we started out with 5 prospective intervention sites, and we were going to narrow it down to 3. Our goal in doing this was, you know, if there's no point in trying to set up a pilot program if you're in an environment where management is totally uncooperative, where the workers are completely unhappy, where nothing is ever going to be done. It's just, there's no chance of success. So we wanted to start with the best possible conditions that we could so that we would have a chance of seeing how this would work. So the 5 prospective sites were all in Massachusetts. The 3 control sites, which were sites that had management-led health promotion programs in place, were in Massachusetts, Maine, Rhode Island. And we conducted interviews with all the administrators and directors of nursing at these 8 nursing homes. Nursing homes have a very flat organization. Generally, those are the 2 people who have the most responsibility for management. And so we were looking at administrative style, organizational character, the interaction of management and staff, responsiveness to employee concerns. I'm going to try to go through this quicker. Okay. We looked at their interest in health promotion, and one of the key things that we were concerned about was worker participation. Were there opportunities already existing in these centers? Were they open to it? And we were looking at their no-lift program. All of these centers had a no-lift program in place that Genesis was doing to prevent lifting injuries. And we talked about the logistics of the groups. One center was eliminated because they just basically wanted us to come in and take over their wellness program and hadn't even been there for 6 months, so they were gone. That was easy. And for the focus groups, we looked at employee interest, organizational readiness. We wanted to get an overview of the occupational health and safety issues and general health concerns in the workplace. With the control groups, we wanted to assess the programs they had done and to compare them with the intervention sites. None of these nursing homes was unionized. There are very few that are. So we did a lot of focus groups, 28 in all. We had 2 groups per site at different times, so we could capture all the shifts, and they were divided into 2 phases. The first phase dealt with health issues, occupational health issues. The second with more future goals and priorities. They were each 90 minutes and had 6 to 10 participants. That fast, okay. So, we asked them to think about the ideal nursing home, and they actually, and this was at the end of the first session, many of them came in with lists of what they wanted to see in the future. And issues that came up, they wanted more flexibility and control in scheduling, more independence for their daily duties, better teamwork and ability to solve problems together. Stress was by far the major health issue they faced, and understaffing was the primary cause, which is something that we are not going to be able to address in this program, unfortunately, and lack of support from nursing. Some of the things they put forward were an on-site counselor or therapist, a relaxation room to get away from the constant input that they have on their jobs. They wanted healthier food. They had nothing but junk food available at the centers. Communication was a big issue, and they wanted more direct contact with families and residents. They wanted to be respected. There are only CNAs, nurses aides, in the focus groups, and people said things like, they treat us like animals, they treat us like dogs, nobody listens to us. They wanted to improve the conditions for the residents. We kept saying, this is about you, and they said, if the residents are happier, our jobs are easier, and that's why we're here anyway. So they had a number of suggestions for, you know, things that they wanted to do. We looked at, you can see these selection factors here. We eliminated one center because they could barely even get a focus group together, and the workers couldn't even think about how they could improve the place because they had no sense that they would be able to. And the challenges that we're facing now, and we're doing training with these teams because just putting somebody on a team and saying go do it doesn't work. We're acting as mentors, facilitators, and helping to provide resources for them. We are meeting with them every other week right now, and our goal is to be able to move out so these are ongoing programs. If this is a difficult thing, and it's something that I would love to be able to talk to people about, I think it happens in health and safety too, where you have burnout or people are very enthusiastic at the beginning and then it kind of wanes. Making sure that things are actually going to happen. And my big concern is I don't want this to become something like a quality circle where people are just tinkering with little issues so that they're supposed to feel like they're doing something. We really want them to be able to tackle larger issues. And I think that's pretty much it. Okay.
We do have time for a question or two.
They're meeting every other week for an hour, which was a negotiation that we had with management. Originally, we were told we could never have more than 40 minutes. And right now, we've had some real structure at the beginning for them to identify their issues in the center, and looking at the health and safety issues first and then pretty much repeating what we did with the focus groups. But we're also trying to build their skills at leading meetings. Right now, we're the people, they're willing to talk to management. We can bring management into a meeting, but they always want us to bring up their issues first because they feel uncomfortable. They'll get involved afterwards. But we're hoping that we can help them, you know, develop those skills and the confidence. I mean, they're just so used to being shot down. Or for people to say, oh, that's a good idea, and then nothing ever happens. And I feel right now as if my role is the official nag. Because And I'm not sure how we're going to get past that. You know, we have administrators who support what we're doing. You know, they say, yes, we want our workers to be involved. We want them to do this stuff. But if we're not at the top of their list, we're not even close. So it always gets put off. And so I'm the one who calls and says, well, where are we at? You know, people are going to get really discouraged and you're going to lose this team. And, you know, then something happens. And that's something that I'm not sure how to break through, because we've tried to encourage team members to do some of that, and they go, that's the person who's running my life. This is the person who is responsible for my job. I don't want to make her angry at me.
Okay, one more quick question.
No, they are completely defining their own issues.
And their outcomes, how they're going to measure whether they succeeded in achieving them?
We're kind of getting to that at this point. First, we felt that we had to get to, how are you going to organize to get something done? So one team decided they wanted to do a garden, which I know sounds kind of weird, but they were excited because they had identified issues like teamwork. They wanted more teamwork. They wanted healthier food. They wanted more exercise. They wanted to de-stress. And they started thinking about the garden going, that could help us with all of it. And it's something that will probably be ongoing because they really liked it. And each of the centers has come up with very different plans, although they all want healthier food on site. But the big issues like communication and how do you get managers to let go and give people a voice, that's going to take a long time, and that's definitely not going to be easy.
Okay, thank you.